What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am your host. And today we're talking about relationship skills to strengthen any relationship, friendships, dating relationships, husband, wife, any of those relationships. What are some things that you must practically do in order to make them stronger? One of the privileges I have in my life is teaching a class here at the Master's University. That's where I record these episodes, and it's called Marriage and Family. Through it, a colleague of mine wrote a book called Marry Wisely, Marry Well. His name is Ernie Baker. And Ernie says in his book that there are relationship skills, things that you do to strengthen your relationships with other people. So I've taken that concept and tried to expand on it more and more and more and help my students understand what are key ingredients of God-honoring relationships. We've talked about these in the past with red flags and dating. We've talked about these with looking at those who might be manipulative and how we're being manipulated by them. I've talked about role clarity. Those all come from relationship skills. And though the list is not exhaustive, we are talking about communication, conflict resolution, time together, honoring and serving other people, those types of things, things that you do to make your relationship with other people stronger. So I'm going to do a two-part series. Today, I want to address time together as a relationship skill. And you're like, yo, Dr. G, what do you mean? And I'm like, hey, you have to deposit time into a relationship in order for that relationship to grow and to flourish. Let's say it in a negative way, and this will kind of be a diagnostic tool for some of you as you're listening to this. Consider your life right now, where you're at, this season of life. Maybe you're a dad, mom, maybe you're a young professional, maybe you're a college student, maybe you're later in life, over 55, and kids are kind of out doing their own thing. Do you have any peer-to-peer friendships? Any meaningful ones? Do you have any meaningful peer-to-peer friendships? What I find is that there are those, and let's just start with the different generations, there are those over 55 that don't really have any peer-to-peer friendships. Their friendships are their adult kids and their adult kids and babysitting grandkids. They're at that season of life. But who do they kick it with? Let's kick it. Who do you kick it with? Not really anybody outside of your family. Okay, there's no peer-to-peer friendship. There are some of us that we're just chopping right now. It feels like we are entangled in a jungle and we have a machete and our lucky machete. We're just trying to keep up and survive. And we're so busy to squeeze out another time for hanging out with people. It just feels like overwhelming. You can't commit. That's your statement regularly. I'm sorry. I'm just too busy to hang out right now. And there's a group of us that are just too tired. Friday rolls around, Saturday rolls around, and you don't really have a particular interest in hanging out with other people. You just want to veg, get some home projects done, get ready for church on Sunday. Well, the reality is that what happens when you do that long enough is that you have no meaningful friendships. If you do that long enough in your relationships, they all start to diminish. So when you remove time from your friendships, you don't have friendships anymore. So by the time you're 57 and you say, you know what, all I hang out with is my kids. Okay, it's too late. You haven't spent time with other people. By the time you've looked at your life in your 40s and you said, you know, I'm too tired and I don't spend time with anybody, thus I don't really have any meaningful friendships outside of my marriage. Great. Then that means you haven't spent time with people. If you don't have meaningful peer-to-peer friendships, there is a gradual fade into anonymity. Yeah, you see people at church and you've known them for years, but you don't actually hang out with them outside of church. You don't spend any time together outside of church. You're not a community in that way. A community doesn't go to a lecture hall on one day a week and never see each other outside of that. That's not the way a community works. The Acts 4 model is that you're eating together, you're breaking bread, you're going from house to house, fellowshipping, praying, studying the scripture. So I really appreciate the way that Jesus is embedded with his disciples. know, Jesus, we know he's king. We know that. We know that he condescends to be with his disciples. And when he condescends, he doesn't have his own camp. He doesn't have his own structure that he stays in and the disciples stay in their structure. In the army, we would even have officer quarters and enlisted quarters, or an officer chow hall and the enlisted chow hall. Jesus didn't have the officer quarters that he was staying in that was different from the enlisted quarters. Jesus ate with his disciples. Remember his final night with the Passover, Mark 14:17 and following. He's eating with his disciples. They're reclining with him. One of his disciples is laying next to him, close enough to be touching his chest. He's with them. John 4:1-8, he travels with them through Samaria. They go off to get some food. Jesus stays back at the well and starts chit-chatting with the Samaritan woman. He sleeps where they sleep. John 18. How does Judas know where to find him? Because they always slept in a similar location over by Gethsemane. Think that garden was their hotel. And Jesus wasn't like, well, I have a place over here at the Ritz-Carlton, boys. I'll see you in the morning. Rather, he slept where they slept. He goes where they are, John 21:4. After he resurrects, they kind of go back to what they were doing. And Jesus goes to them at the Sea of Galilee. He doesn't say, hey guys, royal message, come to my throne in Jerusalem. He meets them by the Sea of Galilee, where Peter kind of acts a fool, strips off his outer garment, jumps in the water, and swims to the shore. We remember that story. Jesus is with his disciples relationally. He spends time with them. He prioritizes being with them. He's not in this distant court and inviting them to come in once a year, but he's with his sheep. And personally, I've always thought that was a great model for pastors. I've heard the phrase that pastors smell like sheep. They're with their sheep. They're with their people. And that's something I've tried to live out personally. I want to be with my people. I love them. I care for them. I want to be where they are. And that's how we build relationship, is doing things together, spending time together. So in the big picture of relationships, I want you to imagine equity. Some of you are mortgage experts. You know all about equity. Or some of you are banking or financial advisors. You know all about equity. For any relationship to thrive, you are making deposits of time together with that person. And that deposit turns into equity, relational equity that you have with them. So the more time I spend together with someone, the more time that cumulatively results in a friendship. And then after time continues to take place, I have equity with that person and we would be close. I joke about this, but you know exactly what it's like. You go on vacation with a family and you spend 4 days together. At the end of that time, you're closer to them because you've spent so much time with them. If you're younger, you remember the camp days where you would go and make friends at camp, maybe a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Hello. Well, we all had our camp loves in the past. And what happened in that moment is we spent a week with someone and we thought that we were going to marry them. Or we spent a week with those friends and we thought we'd be homies for life. And what's the key ingredient of that relationship? Time together. You got to call that something. And what you're calling that is time together. In order for your relationship to have equity, you must prioritize time in that relationship. So that's what a date night is. That's what guys' night is. That's what girls' night is. That's what small group Bible study is. That's what Sunday morning is. You are prioritizing time with that person. So when a relationship starts to lack equity, moving to the point of not being close anymore, what is a key ingredient that's missing from that relationship? You don't spend time with them anymore. I love Tennessee. If you're listening right now and you're from Tennessee, it's a beautiful state. Although Chattanooga always gives me the worst allergies. I love Texas. I was born in Amarillo. Many of you don't know that. Born in Amarillo, did seminary in Fort Worth. Woot, woot. I love Idaho. I get to go up there this weekend and teach at a conference. Woot, woot. But I've had many friends move away from California to these states. Boo. Boo, Idaho, Tejas, get out of here. Well, now I don't really talk to them a whole lot and we're not as close because they've moved away. Fundamentally, what happened is we don't spend time together and our relationship equity is going down, going down, going down, and we're slowly like acquaintances. My middle sister, more than my older sister has always been kind of like a mom and very loving and gracious, but my middle sister has been kind of like a co-partner in crime my whole life. I don't see her much. She lives in Georgia. I live in California. But when I do see her, there's like an instant friendship that can cultivate. We get each other's jokes. We get in trouble. We make fun of our kids in the same way. And what just changed is time together reinvigorated that relationship. Pause and ask yourself, do you make time for peer-to-peer friendships? Do you make time for people outside of your family? If you don't, then I would be willing to guess you don't have many friendships. I would be willing to guess that. And why do you not have that? Well, it's not because you're a terrible person.
And you might be.
Ah, sorry, no. It's because you're not making time to spend with people. So this key ingredient, start to see it as fertilizer for relationships. Start to see it as without a relationship having this, my relationship is not going to thrive. What are we calling that? What do you call that? Put a term to it. Call that time together. So that's our first segment. When we come back in our next segment, I'm going to give you ideas for cultivating relationships with time together. So we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford in just a moment as he continues to discuss relationship skills. And as he does, I want to recommend a resource available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org, The Heart of Addiction by Mark Shaw. And I know it seems an unusual connection from addiction to relationships, but listen, in this resource, Shaw masterfully shows you how our hearts drive our relationships and our behaviors. And the principles that he outlines about heart change apply perfectly to strengthening relationships. It's The Heart of Addiction by Mark Shaw, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And as we talk about strengthening relationships, another relationship you might want to endeavor to start is if you have someone in your family that is looking to attend university soon. The Masters University would be a great landing spot. They just launched an exciting entrepreneurship degree, and this is something that puts students right in front of real investors, which you don't get at the college level very often. And with scholarships covering 100% of tuition, some scholarships up to $20,000 a year. There's really never been a better time to look into the Masters University. And as someone who teaches at TMU, I know Dr. Gifford will say there's no better place for young believers to prepare for their future. You can find out more about the Masters University right now at masters.edu/transformed. And if you want more relationship wisdom, I encourage you to become a Fortis Insider. You can sign up right now at fortisinstitute.org, absolutely free of charge. You get exclusive daily content sent straight to your email inbox. We're releasing 7 pieces of new content every single day. Also, you can download and check out the Fortis Plus app, which is where all of the content is stored. It's also completely free. You can download Fortis Plus right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. And all of these things that we're doing that I just told you that are absolutely free of charge, well, they're only made possible because of our gospel partners. What's a gospel partner? Well, hopefully it will soon be you. We literally cannot do this alone. We're living in a brave new world, and that's why we transformed into Fortis Institute and brought in 8 new theologically sound voices to help reach more people with more truth. But again, it takes an army, and that's why we want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get answers to any questions you could possibly have at fortisinstitute.org. And remember, we're not just asking for your support. We're inviting you to be a part of something much bigger than ourselves. And now let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he continues to explore how to strengthen our relationships. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. Fortis has been such a neat explosion. Some of you have subscribed, you've downloaded the app. As Todd has mentioned over and over, it's all free. It's entirely free. There's no paywall. You sign up and then you get access to all of the information that us fellows are producing. So check it out. Check out the hot takes. Check out the publications. Check out the podcasts. Andrew Walker, I'm in the middle of his series now on Brave New World. So check out the lecture series. It's really quite phenomenal what the Lord is allowing Todd to accomplish through Fortis. Now, back to time together. When you are missing meaningful friendships, you need to pause and ask yourself, do you spend time with other people? Other people who are not your family, do you spend time? Do you make time for them? In a normal season of life, you need to make time for other peer-to-peer relationships with Christians. Now, and when I say normal season, some of you are in medical school. Got it. Some of you are military and you're deployed. Got it. Some of you just had a baby. Got it. Like, I understand that's not a normal season. But when you're thinking about the normal seasons of your life, you didn't just move. You're not in medical school. You didn't just have a baby. In that normal season, you see that it is important for you to prioritize time with other Christians. That is how you are going to cultivate relationships with them. So let me give you key relationships that you're going to invest time in. Key relationships. Are you ready? First of all, peer-to-peer Christian relationships. Peer-to-peer. Many of you are great disciplers and mentors of others. You're the Titus 2, and you are investing in younger women, and I praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for that. Many of you are dudes that are discipling younger dudes. And Adam Tyson would say, let's go. Gen Z needs that help. But I would add that you also need a friend, a Christian friend, who is not underneath you. And what I mean by underneath you is you're not their authority. You're not the big brother. You need someone that's not intimidated by you. They don't think you're big sis. They don't come to you for all of life's answers. They just kind of cut it straight with you. You need that peer in your life. That is what one anothering looks like in the body of Christ. So you may be a great discipler, but if you don't have any peer-to-peer friendships, you're still missing out. In your discipling relationship, if you don't confess your sins to that person, then they're not a peer to you. Okay, so that's a great delineation. So when you are looking for this, you're saying part of my weekly schedule, I need to have time with other Christians. And if you're single, what that means is that there is probably 2 days, maybe 3 days a week that you're spending with other Christians. You're making time for other believers. Remember, your priority, according to Galatians 6:10, and I think 1 Corinthians 5 is going to make an argument for this, not that you pull yourself out of the world completely at the end of 1 Corinthians 5, but rather that you're fellowshipping with believers who are walking in holiness. That's your priority. Of course, you're going to work in a secular environment, but you're not trying to hang out with those unbelievers at work. So that's the demarcation line. So if you're single, you're making time and you're probably doing that multiple times a week. So you're able to go to church, you're able to go to a small group, and then there's a hangout or two after that outside of church and your small group. If you're married, that you're making a time at least every other week, but hopefully every week, where you get some type of small group Bible study. When I say small group, I'm very open to this. You guys can write in greg@transform.org and tell me how wrong I am. Some of you do that. But I would say that small group Bible studies are the best means of cultivating friendships in the body of Christ. Sunday mornings are really hard to do that. It's such a transient place. You're here 1 week, you're gone 2 weeks, you miss next week, they miss this week. And so it's just hard to build relations. But small group Bible study, that is the ticket. And I am not going to be like Rick Warren part two and have my one methodology of how church should be done. But I am going to say that it's really hard to beat that small group, life group, in-home Bible study, whatever you call that. For the past 20 years, my wife and I have been involved in small groups. And currently that night is Thursday night. That's our small group night. We call them life groups at our church. And I prioritize that. I don't schedule other things. If people ask, are you busy on Thursday? The answer is yes, I am busy on Thursday. Why? Because that's a priority for me. That's when I get to see other peers. Not when I'm discipling younger dudes, not when I'm out teaching on the road, not whenever I'm recording Transform. That's when I get to see and hang out with my dudes. So that, as a married couple, you're thinking like we at least get something every other week, but a lot of times couples will get something once a week. And it's a women's Bible study, men's Bible study, it's a men's hangout, it's a small group, it's something like that. Like you create that rhythm. So see this as a benefit. By you having peer-to-peer relationships, it actually makes you better at other relationships. Have you ever thought about that? When you have a brother or sister in Christ that sees you as a peer, you're not their boss, you're not their mom, you're not their child. When they see you as a peer, it makes you better. So consider this. In marriages that are bad, I'll often see that a husband doesn't have meaningful peer-to-peer relationships. He's kind of a bump on a log. He's a bum daddy. And no one else in the world wants to hang out with him. And now the one person that's covenanted to him doesn't want to be around him either. Oh, man. Oh, what does that mean practically? If he were to work on his relationship skills with other dudes, it would actually bless his relationship with his wife. He wouldn't be as grumpy. He wouldn't be as mean. He wouldn't demand his own way. In fact, you can't talk to other adult men the way you talk to your wife if you're a mean guy towards your wife. Because these other peer-to-peer guys might punch you right in the nose, number one. Or number two, they'd at least rebuke you and say, hey, bro, don't talk to me like that. Like, I don't know where this is coming from, but please don't speak to me like that. The better you are at peer-to-peer relationships, the more it will bless your other relationships. If you're a young man or a young woman learning how to interact with those that are peers, then what you'll find is that having God-honoring peer-to-peer friendships actually makes you a better dater of others. When you get to the dating phase, you'll be better at it because you have better relationship skills. When you get to the married phase, then you'll be better at that and more prepared for that because you have better relationship skills. So think of cultivating these relationships as having these immense blessings. And this is one of the problems. If you're single late into life, and I don't mean this as if you should get married, but if you're single late into life, you have to be very careful that you're not selfish because a single person sets their own schedule, picks where they're going to eat, decides how they're going to use their money. And that over time can make you very disagreeable. So if you are a single person and you don't want to get married, more power to you, but you should be cultivating peer-to-peer friendships. Otherwise, I think you're going to be a curmudgeon when you get old. And at some point, you may even enjoy your cats more than you do hanging out with people. Seriously, like that's not a stab jab. That's neither of those. You just got to be careful with that. So first is peer-to-peer Christian relationships, men being friends with men, women being friends with women. Then your local church relationships. If you only have time to spend with either the guys from work that are unbelievers or the gals from work that are unbelievers, the gals are like, hey, we're going wine tasting. Let's go. Girls' night out. And you're like, oof, that's the same night as my ladies' Bible study. Which one should you choose? Local church relationship. Booyah. Every day. Sorry, ladies, I'm not going out to the wine tasting thing. I am going out to hang with my lady Bible study. Why? Because we know that the body of Christ is our priority. So all of you as listeners should be connected to a good local church. All of you. Maybe there's a small exception where you're deployed overseas. You're in a bunker right now. Maybe there's a short season. You're in the hospital and you can't go to your local church. But outside of that, you're part of a local church. If you have limited time, who gets priority? Your local church gets priority. Like, this is my life in a nutshell. If I hung out with every person at Masters, every person through Transformed, every person through Christian relationships, if I hung out with everybody, then I wouldn't know my local church at all, and I wouldn't have meaningful peer-to-peer friendships. Internally, I have to say my local church is my relational priority, and that means sometimes I don't get to hang out with people in other Christian ministries because I'm spending that same time with my life group or with my local church. So local church relationships. So number one, time together with peer-to-peer Christian relationships. Number two, time together with local church relationships. You hang out on a Sunday, you make yourself available. Last thing, of course, and I've rear-loaded this because I think you do this obviously, which would be family. You're making time together for your kids, for your spouse, for your grandkids, but I would encourage you that you're also mindful that the people that you spend time with are not only your family, that you ensure that you have friendships outside of your family or that your family makes friends with others. So it's hard to break into big family social spheres because often they are their own ecosystem of friendships. I've seen a couple of families do it well, but don't only spend time with your adult kids. Have peer-to-peer relationships. So what's a key takeaway from today? If your relationships are going to thrive, if you're going to strengthen them, you need to invest time into them. So block time to spend with these relationships. If you don't block time and prioritize, you won't have meaningful relationships. This is just as important as paying the bills. This is just as important as getting your oil changed. You need to make time on your calendar to be with other peer-to-peer Christian relationships because without those, you will not be spurred on to grow in Christ-likeness. So that would be my takeaway for you. And as you're entering even into the holiday season, be thinking about how can you invest this extra time into key relationships that are in your life. Let me pray for us. Next week, I will pick up with part two, and we will cover honoring and serving one another. So let's pray. or thank you for friendships. There are some listeners here that really don't have any depth of friendships, no meaningful friendship outside of their spouse. And they're missing out. They're missing out on the joy that deep, meaningful friendships are for them, for their spouse, for their kids. Help us to be people that love the body of Christ, and the body of Christ loves us. And may we be all the more like Jesus for that. So help us do this, we pray, in His name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.